Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeWanza. So for another day of broadcast intense.
Are you feeling any general body soreness today, Ro? I know yesterday you did.
After last night's New Hampshire primary, I feel a general dismay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel. I feel a general disillusionment and a general confusion.
Two candidates without any super PAC backing, two candidates total outsiders, you could say.
I don't know.
Sanders is not so much of an outsider.
Well, neither is Donald Trump. Donald Trump's contributed to every political campaign known to man, including tons of money to Rod Blagojevich.
Maybe anti-establishment is a better word.
I think he was the establishment, and now he's figured out a way to con people into thinking that he's an anti-establishment by just saying anything that he can't back up with any specific deed or duty.
You know, they were both supposed to win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure you're not shocked.
I wasn't shocked. I'm disappointed.
Mm. Hoping for a better outcome, yeah.
I was hoping that maybe the people were going to come too in New Hampshire.
Oh, gosh, Ro.
And really, but listen, here's what I want to say. And our personal congressman, Adam Kinzinger, who is from the Ro and Anna district of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
Of Illinois, is I just want to point this one thing out to you, Congressman, that as many people that are listening to us right now, this moment, at this very moment, now this moment.
Mm-hmm. Now.
We're in the moment.
Now is the exact same amount of people who voted for Donald Trump. That's his vote total in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, not to say that this is a small audience, but it isn't. But at any given moment, there's something like 110,000 people listening. That's how it goes. You know, and then over a 15-minute period, it turns into, you know, a 250,000. And then over an hour period, it turns into 1,000,000. But not for Trump. No, it's just that was it. The only thing that made me feel better was
he doubled his closest competitor.
Yes, but
I mean,
yes.
He didn't just squeak by. It's like it was authoritative. It was a shellacking.
Yes, but in a very small pool. He won in the kiddie pool.
You're not worried.
Adam,
it sounds like Congressman.
Make me feel better. Now, I know you've been backing Jeb Bush. You know that I've been a John Kasich fan. I'm very happy that Governor Kasich had a good showing last night. I don't know if it's enough for him, but it was an interesting turn of events. I think he's a responsible guy who would lead this country well. And I think Jeb Bush is a responsible guy who would lead the country well. But what happened?
Look, by the way, it's interesting. I haven't actually run the numbers, but I think if you add everybody, like all the Republican votes, it's not that much more than what I got my first race for Congress. You think about that, like a congressional district, and then, you know, basically a state that's setting the whole pace for the country. I mean, it's, I really think we need to rethink how we're doing primaries, but, you know, whatever, there's tradition and stuff. But, like, there were a lot of good stories out of New Hampshire. One, you know, as a Jeb Bush guy, I think Jeb came out of New Hampshire with some momentum. I think Kasich obviously came out with some momentum. My only concern on Kasich's side is he had a one-state strategy, so he's going to have to turn that basically win on his side into now has to parlay that into South Carolina and everywhere else. The Trump thing, though, look, I mean, you know, people – Trump has done a good job of saying, you're angry, I'm angry, let's all be angry together. And you know, only a third, but a third of the Republican electorate is buying that and supporting Donald Trump. And it comes from the right place where they're upset they want to change government. The problem is, though, is, you know, you see his comments last night. He says, I'm going to be the best jobs president that God has ever made and this kind of stuff. It's just it's an arrogance. It's a narcissism that I think is dangerous in the presidency. And the other thing is, you know, look, we need a leader, and I hope people come around to this, and I think they will, but we need a leader that's not just going to see your anger and stir that anger up again and make you even angrier. We need a leader that's going to see the anger and then show you a way out of it and say, here's how we're going to solve the problems, not just, yeah, you should be mad. And by the way, when Donald Trump makes fun of the disabled, I mean, that makes me sick when I see that. But, you know, he gets away with it somehow.
Veterans, women. I mean, he's taking shots at everybody.
Right. And this whole, you know, the thing that really just chilled me to the bone was this whole torture thing this week, which is now he's going to bring back waterboarding, which his frat boy son said was just like what goes on in the frat houses. I don't think, certainly not the way the CIA did it.
Not the frat I was in.
if that's such the case, then I encourage the entire Trump family to undergo it just to prove that it's powder puff. But the other issue here is he said, but then he goes on and goes, and much more. Well, what the hell does that mean? And what sort of signal does that send about our moral leadership on the globe.
So here's the problem, and this happens with a narcissist. A narcissist, a no-kidding clinical narcissist, which I believe that Trump is, they only think about the world through themselves, mm-hmm. right? So everything revolves around them. So when saying things like, you know, I'm going to waterboard him so fast my head will spin, and we're going to do even worse, and that kind of stuff, he doesn't care, I personally think. He doesn't care about the impact that that has around the world because he thinks of everything in terms of what does it mean for his election. And it's easy to allow, and it's understandable to allow, people that are feeling very insecure right now about our position in the world and about terrorism and stuff. This kind of tough talk is seductive, but it's not mature. And unfortunately or fortunately, the president of the United States needs to be mature, needs to be able to think these things through logically. And it's funny because, you know, as the many times I've been on your show, I'm one of the more hawkish members of Congress, but now I appear like a dove compared to Trump. And it's just, you know, I don't get it. But look, I haven't gotten the election cycle so far. There's a lot of good people supporting Trump. I don't question their motives. But I hope that somebody that's a little more reasonable is going to be able to take the lead in this race.
You know, it's funny because no matter what, and I've got friends, dear friends. Some of my best friends are Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm. And I just had breakfast with five cops, and two of them were big Trump supporters.
Right, and it's like what and what are they like? They just love the idea that the guy's talking tough, and he's going to give everybody a what for, and he's going to blow things up, and you know, if anybody can change anything, it would be him. Well, that depends on the kind of change that you're looking for. So my argument back to them is, yeah, but he has got no details. He has no, he had no ground game in, you know, in these campaigns, let alone has people in Washington that he's now going to rely on who have to be deft administrators, specifically of the kinds of agencies that are, you know, that have nothing to do with hotels or construction or anything or casinos or any of the things that he is, that, you know, his friends know everything there is to know about. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, could he find a guy to run Treasury? Sure. Could he find a guy to run the Department of the Interior? Probably not.
Well, I don't know. He might be very, I mean, that's one thing he's good at probably is hiring smart people. Isn't that something
But
he's
that's
good
not
at?
How it goes, though. He doesn't sit down. A president can't sit there and hire everybody. He has to have a whole system of people in line. And then, you know, what's he going to do with it? Imagine the doomsday gaming going on at the Pentagon right now. Just imagine. I mean, seriously, Congressman. I mean, you know how this operates. You know, I mean, what they're doing right now is they're trying to figure out how do they shield how do they protect the country from a madman?
Yeah.
And that's because they don't know, because the guy, they don't know what this guy's capable of. Can you hold on 1 second? Can we come back?
Yeah,
to
sure.
You? Hold on. I can't even believe what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling. Weeknights on WGN TV News at 10.
10.
10.
Tom at 10. Adam at 3:26. It's Adam.
Bam.
Bam.
Not quite as much of a ring to that.
Well, it is what it is. Now, the Congressman Kinzinger is with us. We're talking about last night's results. Hey, okay, so moving out of Iowa and New Hampshire here, you know, Trump's on a bit of a roll because he wins in New Hampshire. Cruz seems a little debilitated, but going into South Carolina, what is your thought on both the Republican and Democratic sides here? But who's got the edge?
Well, Hillary's way better in the South than she's been, and then she's been in the first two races. So I think Hillary's going to be in a better position in the South. But, I mean, look, Bernie could get a ton of momentum, which blows me away that, you know, anyway. But that's just me speaking as me. On the Republican side, I think Cruz goes in not hurt, not necessarily helped by New Hampshire. I think Rubio, look, I like Rubio, but he has got to stem this bleeding that he was inflicted upon at the debate. I think he's got to show some depth beyond his ability to speak, because right now people see him as somebody that can speak well but not necessarily have depth. So he's got to spend the next 10 days trying to show real depth. I think Jeb goes in with a little momentum, and I think obviously with Carly dropping out, Christie apparently dropping out, it's going to be interesting to see where that so-called establishment lane, and by the way, I don't like that term, but the so-called establishment lane kind of coalesces. I think there'll be clarity after South Carolina. I said that after New Hampshire, but obviously with Kasich's win, it was not really foreseen. And Kasich's going to South Carolina with some real momentum. The question for him is, does he have the ground game in place? Because, again, he hadn't been spending much time down there until
right.
about now.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the Republican base in South Carolina, which we've talked about before, you and I have talked about before, and I think it kind of legendarily difficult to read because
yeah.
you have the evangelical movement down there is gigantic. It's a big piece mm-hmm. of what goes on. It's even more so than it is in Iowa.
And it's a very big veterans community.
Right. Yeah. Because and you got a lot of retired Marines, Special Forces, people and Air Force, right? They've got this stuff down there. So this is a big that's right. It's a very conservative state in a lot of ways. It's very conservative and very liberal on the Democratic side. So you really have to appeal to that. But it's very African-American on the Democratic side. And so now does Bernie Sanders, is he capable of going in there and, getting African-American votes? That's a big, 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 big issue for him. And it may be the ultimate hurdle. But, we'll see. You know what? It's the best show in town right now.
Yeah, it is. That's for sure. Right? I just hope we come out of it in one piece.
Yeah. No.
That's the whole thing. Don't fall off the elephant, man.
That's a good point. All right. Thank you, Congressman.
Thanks,
appreciate
Congressman.
You bet, guys.
All right. All right. There he goes. Congressman Adam Kinzinger, man of the hour.
Doesn't it seem like there's a debate almost every couple of days now, too? It's like it or something.
Too many.
There's probably too many.
Too
Trump,
many.
Trump was right on that.
Too many. I'll tell you this. There's too many. There should be one per... I guess there has been now one per primary, but, and we're going to get the Democratic debate, tomorrow night, right?
That's
PBS
right.
debate tomorrow
mm-hmm.
night.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait for Gwen Ifill to stare into Bernie Sanders' soul.
Well, the MSNBC debate was more, it was interesting because the moderators never really talked. It seemed like just the candidates sort of went at it, and it'll be interesting to see if they take a different tack now and how much swinging, much more mudslinging there's going to be because of the situation where they are now neck and neck nationally.
We need debates because we still don't have any answers.
Well, so they're not giving us any. No one's pinning them down.
We have to keep holding, having a debate so that we could just get one answer to one question.
I've never seen that.